Music you grew up with. Real Country, 1430 AM at 107.3 FM, WRDN.
She rattled the ice in my plastic cup. I said, yes, ma'am, fill her up. Tell me something good that I don't know. 'Cause this world's been kicking my behind. Life ain't been a friend of mine. Lately I've been feeling kinda low. And she looked back over her shoulder, pointed at the sign hanging up on the wall, and say, everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Nobody's gotta worry about nothing. Don't go hitting that panic button. It ain't worth spilling your drink. Everything's gonna be alright, alright, alright.
So I nodded my head and said that's for sure. Dropped a few bucks in the mason jar. Felt those good old neon vibes on me. Whatever monkey that was on my back, he jumped off just like that, right into the deep blue sea. And I look back over her shoulder, thinking about the sun hanging up on the wall. Let's say everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Nobody's gotta worry about nothing. Don't go hitting that panic button. It ain't near as bad as you think. Everything's gonna be alright, alright,
Country, 1430 AM stereo, WRDN, Durand, Downsville, Pepin, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Police in Israel describing a deadly truck crash near Tel Aviv as a suspected terror attack. Dozens of people killed. Chief Superintendent Marit Ben-Mayor of the Israeli police.
The driver is an Israeli Arab, so we take it also into consideration.
Israeli military personnel working at some of the military bases around the bus stop are among the injured. 9 days until Election Day, but many don't want to wait. More than 40 million Americans have voted early so far. Over 19 million in person, close to 21 million by mail. Our latest ABC News Ipsos poll showing Kamala Harris has regained a slight lead among likely voters nationally, 49% to 47%. In the murder trial of Richard Allen, accused of killing two teenage girls in Delphi, Indiana, back in 2017, the sheriff testifying that Allen himself went to police 3 days after the murders, but he fell in the cracks for years, leaving him hiding in plain sight. He claims he's innocent. This is ABC News. A Florida woman convicted of murder for a 2020 incident involving a suitcase.
Sarah Boone initially told detectives she and boyfriend Jorge Torres were drinking and playing hide-and-seek, and they thought it would be funny if Torres got into a suitcase. She said she fell asleep, and when she woke up, he was unresponsive. But detectives found videos on her phone showing Torres yelling that he couldn't breathe. Boone testified at trial. The two had a history of violent incidents, and she kept Torres in the suitcase for self-defense. Boone could get life in prison when she's sentenced in December. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Delta Airlines taking cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike to court over the massive computer outage this summer. In the suit filed Friday, Delta says CrowdStrike cut corners and failed to test an update that was sent to millions of Microsoft computers worldwide. Delta says the outage caused the airline to cancel 7,000 flights over a five-day period. CrowdStrike releasing a statement saying, in part, Delta's claims are based on disproven misinformation. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Shop Macy's lowest prices of the fall today for the season's best prices on what you need now. Save 40 to 60% on new styles to get you ready for cooler temps. Like cozy coats for your crew, the perfect sweaters for layering, and more fall wardrobe updates. Plus, don't miss amazing specials for you and your home. So good, they won't last. At Macy's.
This is the story of the one. As a warehouse manager, her job is to transform chaos into clarity and to see patterns where others see problems. Luckily, she's got a partner who shares her perspective. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products, backed by real person support and in-depth online resources, so she can tackle every task with precision and turn potential setbacks into streamlined success. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Election Day is fast approaching, and your vote in local elections is important. I am Deborah Fisher, and I am running for the Pepin County Register of Deeds. Determined to serve the community of Pepin County, determined to put the taxpayers first, and determined to make a difference. I am running for this office as an independent candidate and would value your voice and your vote. Remember to get out and vote on Tuesday, November 5th. Authorized and paid for on my behalf.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of sunshine for your Sunday. South winds up to 5 to 15 miles per hour. Highs of the lower 60s. Tonight, clouds will increase from the west. Lows in the mid-40s. On Monday, partly sunny and breezy. Highs near 70. Alexandria, Minnesota, great for winter getaways and holiday fun. ExploreAlex.com. Right now, it's 43.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
What kind of fool do you think I am? Leroy Parnell, what kind of fool do you think I am? That's a loaded question, isn't it? How's it going to get you? Well,
I'm looking down the barrel of a ride at night. I'm riding on a river of freeway lights. A goodbye city, I'm country bound. Monday rolls around. Gonna kick off my shoes and run in bare feet. Where the grass and the dirt and the gravel all meet. Going back to the world, gonna visit old friends and feed my soul. Where the blacktop ends. All week and then I'm free. The weekend belongs to me. I'm gonna kick off my shoes and run in bare feet. Where the grass and the dirt and the gravel on me. Going back to the well, gonna visit old friends and feed my soul where the blacktop ends. So give me some fresh air, give me that farm, and give me some time with you and my. I'm going back to the well, gonna visit old friends and feed my soul. Gonna kick on my shoes and run in bare feet with the grass and the dirt and the gravel on me. I'm going back to the well, gonna visit old friends and feed my soul where the blacktop ends. Where the blacktop ends.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
Yeah, she's my lady luck, hey, I'm her wild card man. Together we're building up a real hot hand. We live out in the country, hey, she's my little queen of the south. Yeah, we're two of a kind, working on a full house. She wakes me every morning with a smile and a kiss. Her strong country loving is hard to resist. She's my easy loving woman, I'm her hard working man, no doubt. Yeah, we're two of a kind, working on a full house. Yeah, our pickup truck is her limousine, and her favorite riding dress is her faded blue jeans. She loves me tender when the going gets tough. Sometimes we find just so we can back up. Lord, I need that little woman like the crops need a rain. She's my honeycomb and I'm her sugar cane. We really fit together if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, we're two of a kind, working on a full house. This time I found a keeper, I made up my mind. Lord, the perfect combination is her heart and mine. The sky's the limit, no hill is too steep. We're playing for fun, but we're playing for keeps. So draw the curtain
We'll find some country music on the radio. I'm yours and you're mine. Hey, that's what it's all about. Yeah, we're two of a kind, working on a full house. Lord and Mama, we'll be two of a kind, working on a full house.
Go Durand the Panthers. From all of us at Rio Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. WRDN.
I was all but 22, I think, at the time. I'd been out on the road, lonely at night. And it'd been a while, so it was on my mind. Well, I saw him walk in with his cowboy hat, and I thought to myself, I could use some of that. His boots like glass on a sawdust floor had moves like nothing I'd ever seen before. So I walked right up and I pulled him to the side. I handed that man a beer and looked him in the eyes, and I said, baby, I think you're gonna wanna hear this. Then I told him, excuse me, you look like you love me. You look like you want me to want you to come on home. Baby, I don't blame you for looking me up and down across this room. I'm drunk and I'm ready to leave, and you look like you love me.
Well, I was down at a local beer joint with a few of the guys, and this cute little country girl caught my eye. And boy, let me tell you, she was the prettiest thing I'd ever seen in a pair of boots. Well, she walked right up to me, handed me a beer, gave me a look like, let's get out of here. And that's when I realized that she was every cowboy's dream come true. She told me this right here. She said,
excuse me. You look like you love me. You look like you want me to want you to come on home. And baby, I don't blame you for looking me up and down across this room. I'm drunk and I'm ready to leave, and you look like you love me. I could use some of that. Don't waste your time. Just give him this here line. Goes a little like this. Excuse me. You look like you love me. You look like you want me to want you to come on home. And baby, I don't blame you for looking me up and down across this room.
Ella Langley, Riley Green, and You Look Like You Love Me. I'm Andrew J., and thank you for hanging out. You look like you enjoy a lot of great country music, and I got Brooks and Dunn for you next.
Aiki Pharmacy, your locally owned pharmacy, has the immunizations to help keep you and your family going. Aiki Pharmacy offers flu, COVID, RSV, shingles, and other immunizations, and honors most prescription plans, including Medicare. So Medicare Part B recipients could get their shots for free. Get your immunizations from Aiki Pharmacy at 213 West Main Street in Durant, or call them at 715-672-5202. Aiki Pharmacy, downtown Durant.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Building a new home or remodeling and need a new plumber? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a perk test or septic system? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need sewer line cleaning or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a new water heater or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. From basic plumbing to big projects, call Chris Bauer of Bauer Plumbing and Septic Service at 715-672-8224. That's 715-672-8224.
What does it mean to feel whole? For some, it's omega-3s, high fives, or shuffleboard.
Yes.
It's kale, kiwi, kumquats, all together. Whatever helps you feel whole, Advent Health is here to support it. We're here to heal what hurts, ease your mind, and lift your spirit with world-class medical expertise and compassionate whole person care. So go for it. Get back on your feet. Overcome the odds. Live your best life and feel whole with Advent Health. To learn more, visit AdventHealth.com.
I'm Terry Schoonover, candidate for Assembly in District 29, which runs along the Mississippi River from Trempealeau in the south to Prescott in the north and over to Blair in the east. For 20 years, I worked in emergency management. I learned you can't do it by yourself. You have to listen. You have to work with all the agencies that have a piece of the action. You have to respect each other. I want to take that experience to Madison. Help break the gridlock. Get people working together. Get stuff done. I'd appreciate your vote for Assembly on November 5th. Paid for by Schoonover for 8029. Bill Brueger, Treasurer.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
Was something I could never do. Never knew that I could feel this much. But this yearning in the deep part of my heart for you is more than a reaction to your touch. It's a perfect passion, and I can't get enough. The way you look, the way you laugh, the way you love me. And don't do something for me. The way you kiss, the way you cry, the way you move when you walk by. There ain't nothing about you. And don't do something for me. Some heavy blows that never knock me off my feet. All you gotta do is smile at me and down I go. And baby, it's no mystery why I surrender. Girl, you got everything. The way you look, the way you laugh, the way you love with all you have. There ain't nothing about you that don't do something for me. The way you kiss, the way you cry, the way you move when you walk by. There ain't nothing about you that don't do something for me. I love your attitude, your rose tattoo, your every thought, your smile, your lips, and girl, the list goes on. For me, where you kiss, where you cry, where you move when you walk by, there ain't nothing about you that don't do something for me. Something where you look, where you laugh, where you love with all you have, your dance, your drive.
grounds of memory. Oh, but it ain't doing jack. Yeah, I've been sipping, I've been buzzing, shooting doubles like it's nothing. All but nothing makes you go away. I need something you prove. That does it. I give them all my money. Ain't nobody selling nothing. You prove something stronger than I'm used to. Yeah, I've been pulling 90 to 100. Feel like nothing's gonna cut it. That's the hard truth. Yeah, I need something you prove. Oh, I need something you prove. Something wrong, 'cause I've been working hard to fade your memory, baby, but the only thing faded is me. I need something you prove, something stronger than I'm used to. Yeah, I've been pulling 90 to 100, feel like nothing's gonna cut it. That's a hard truth.
So good, you'll want to set two presets.
Rio Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
Bye.
8:30. You're listening to Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. Time now for Strength for Today, a Bible teaching message and ministry from Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Durand.
Welcome to our radio audience here, WRDN. We are at First Baptist of Durand, and we are doing a book study in our morning service of Jonah. So if you have a Bible, we'd like you to turn to Jonah chapter 3 in the scriptures, an exciting story of a prophet that was used of God. Jonah chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Jonah was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Father in heaven, thank you for allowing us to follow the life of this servant of yours. And thank you for the way in which you used him to bring the gospel of life to a city that was dead in trespasses and sins. Father, we pray that you administer to our mind, and we pray that you administer to our heart as we feed on the Word of God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Your study sheet now, we're looking at the introduction, and there's conversion testimonies are always, always something that are thrilling to a believer. I remember one time in a used bookshop, I was able to pick up a book on conversions at the Pacific Garden Mission, which is down on State Street in downtown Chicago. And they've been there for over 100 years, 150 years probably. But the stories of those that had their lives changed through that outreach ministry, I mean, people that were up and then down, and then they met Christ and things turned around. It's always thrilling to hear about people who meet Jesus Christ. And as we look here, we see more people were saved in Nineveh through the preaching of Jonah in chapter 3 than by Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And we'll find that out the following week here as we look at the numbers. So we want to focus now on the conversion of this great, great city. And whether Jonah was now in Jerusalem where he had promised to pay his vows. You remember when he was in the belly of the fish and he got things right with God? And so one of the first things he did when he got back to land was to head to Jerusalem and offer up a sacrifice and pay his vow to God. Or whether he was already back in Galilee at Gath-Hepher, which was his hometown, we don't know, but God came to him, and he said, the word of the Lord came, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry unto it. Now, Roman numeral number one, as we take a look at what happened here at the conversion of this city, it was a citywide campaign. And some historians say at this point in time, Nineveh was the largest city on planet Earth, okay, then in this area, at least. Okay, huge, huge city, metropolitan there. But the conversion came against all chances of success. It came against all chances of success. The prophet the prophet was not in favor of this ministry. Yes, I know he turned his body around, and I know he went to Jerusalem and he paid his vows, but this is not something that he was really excited about. And that begins to unfold for us in the last chapter of this narrative right here. And sometimes, you know, we are obedient when we witness, and we are not real excited about that open door that God has set before us. And this certainly didn't forebode well for the success of this mission when you've got a reluctant prophet like that. But not only that, the people at this time, they had their own gods. They had their own gods. And one of the gods that they had was the god by the name of Dagon. That might sound a little bit familiar to you, because Dagon was the same god that the Philistines worshipped. And the Hebrew word for fish is Dag. Okay, D-A-G. And it occurs three times in the book of Jonah right here. It doesn't say a sperm whale. It doesn't say a blue whale. But it says a large Dag, a large fish. And the word Hebrew, Dag, means to squirm as a fish would flap his fins through the water here. But these people already had their own gods, not only Dagon, but multiple gods. And we come against that when we talk to people about the Lord. We know that they have their religious preferences. They have a faith background, if we want to be very polite and generic. But do they know the true God? Do they know the living God? And the answer to that was no. I want to share a little something with you about people who seemingly have no interest in God and have turned their backs on God. Dr. J. Edwin Orr was one of the foremost authorities on revivals. And he said, "Nowhere else in the world has evangelical awakenings occurred so frequently as on college campuses." In his book, Campus Aflame, he describes the impact of the second great awakening on American college campuses. He says, during the last decade of the 18th century, which we're putting the time at about 1790, the typical Harvard student was an atheist. Now, I want you to go back with me. Harvard was started by the settlers at Plymouth Rock, their descendants. And the initial purpose of starting that school was to train men for the ministry. But now, several hundred years later, it is taken over by atheists. And a lot of the professors don't even profess to know God. And so many of the students were atheists as well. Students at Williams College conducted a mock celebration of Holy Communion. When the dean at Princeton opened the chapel Bible to read from the Word of God, a pack of playing cards fell out, and some radical student, having cut a rectangle out of each page in the Bible that the dean was going to read from, on purpose, put the deck in the Bible so when he had opened, out would come the playing cards. Christians were so unpopular that they met in secret and they kept their minutes in code. The radical leader of DIA students led a mob in burning the Bible at the Presbyterian Church in Raritan. Students disrupted worship services with both profanity and spit. Okay, they burned down buildings and they forced the resignation of college presidents. Man, that almost sounds like, you know, our culture today in some ways. Especially when I was going to college anyway. I remember the student body, they took over the college administration building. I was sitting in an English lit class, and I got a note that I was to step outside the hall. I stepped outside the hall. I was in the Army National Guard at the time, California Army National Guard. I was to report to my National Guard unit what was going on there on campus. a lot of turmoil, a lot of things happening. Many historians, Dr. Orr writes, have agreed that conditions on campus and in society were deplorable. The last two decades of the 18th century were the darkest period spiritually and morally in the history of American Christianity. Then came the awakening, the second great American awakening. So far as can be ascertained, writes Orr, the first of a series of college awakenings occurred as early as 1787 at Hampton Sidney College in Virginia. A few students, none of them active Christians, but all of them concerned about the moral state of the college, met for prayer. They locked themselves in a room for fear of the other students. And one of them said, "We tried to pray, but such prayer I never heard of the like. We tried to sing, but it was the most suppressed manner, for we feared the other students." The ungodly students created a disturbance, and their president came to investigate. He rebuked the rowdies, invited the intercessors to a study for continued prayer. They continued in prayer until an awakening was at last seen. Within a short space of time, more than half the number of the students on that college campus professed conversion and a movement that stirred local churches elsewhere. My friend, oftentimes when things look hopeless and people, they have their own gods, they have their own agenda, and they're not interested in the Bible, and Christians begin to pray, God begins to work. And here we have Jonah going into a city. They have their own gods. They were affluent. They had a military that was second to none. Commerce, the economy was just going great guns. They had everything except the living God. So when Jonah came with this message, there is but one God, and his name is Jehovah. His name is Elohim. His name is Adonai. He's revealed himself in the scriptures. It didn't seem as though there were much chances of success. Second of all, that conversion of Nineveh occurred through a credible message. Through a credible message. All people, number one there, all people are aware of their guilt. Now when Jonah comes, he says, "Yet in 40 days shall the city be overthrown." The word overthrown here is, it doesn't mean just a natural disaster is going to happen. It's the same word to describe what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Genesis chapter 19, the city was overthrown. It was miraculously destroyed. Brimstone and fire came down. And they got that. And so the Bible tells us here, that was his message. He says, in 40 days, this city is going to be history. It's going to be wiped off the face of this planet. Okay? So, initially, when we look at what he said here, it seems like the latter part of verse 4, there's eight words, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." As he was walking through this city, the circumference was some 60 miles around it, he would stop and he would preach. It wasn't just "yet 40 days." That he would stop and he would preach. How do you know that, Pastor Doug? Well, look with me, if you would, at verse 2. He says, God says, "Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." In other words, you know, he stopped. There would be a crowd that would gather, and he would explain to them about his God and what God can do. And I would not be surprised if he didn't use Sodom and Gomorrah as an illustration. I wouldn't be surprised if he used Noah and the ark as an illustration. The preaching, he was tasked to do preaching. And it is summarized in these eight words right here. "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So he would go through the city. It took him 3 days to go through. He would stop from time to time. There'd be a crowd that would be gathered. And he would preach and he would teach the word of God. Now, he probably, what happened to him in the whale's belly or the fish's belly probably had reached the ears of the people in Nineveh before Jonah arrived. They were very much interested in Dagon, who was half fish and half man, the idol that they worship. So, hey, there's a commonality right there. And some believe that the digestive juices there in the whale or the fish may have bleached Jonah's skin. And so here's a guy with some mottled skin, probably white as a ghost, walking through that city preaching, and he has instant credibility. But not only that, he had credibility because he was preaching from his own experience. Disobedient at one time, running from God, wanting to do his own thing, live his own way, buying the boat ticket to Tarshish, and then God grabs him, gets a hold of him, and says, hey, now listen, I've got other plans for your life. And this is my plan for your life, is that you serve me. Just like the people of Nineveh, who didn't know God, but were living in an evil way. And God says, I've got other plans for you people. So there was an identification there between the one who is giving the gospel and the one who is receiving the gospel. And my friend, we come with a message of life. Why? Because God saved us. And because we were like Jonah running from God. And because we spent time in the whale's belly. And it wasn't a very pleasant event. But then God showed mercy to us. And he extracted us through his son. Recently I heard a son. You know, there's just such a fascination today. Walking to Menards, walking to Walmart, wherever you go. You know, you've got skulls that are staring at you. You've got ghosts that are, you know, hanging from the ceiling of these stores. And you've got little replicas of haunted houses that... They're decorations like Christmas scenes almost, except they're celebrating Halloween. And so I heard a song, though, about Jesus, who is a grave robber. And man, that is so true. If you have been born again and saved, he has robbed you from your grave because you were already dead in trespasses and sins. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He is the ultimate grave robber. I should write a storybook. Actually, it's not original with me. Listen, that's what happened to Jonah. And this is what he was communicating to the people that were listening to him there in Nineveh. And there's an instant report. Now, so there, it came through a credible message. Number one, all people are aware of their guilt. I don't care how nice they look. I don't care what clothes they wear. I don't care where they live. All people are aware of their guilt. Why? Because the Bible tells us that every individual has a conscience. And the scripture plainly declares that each of us have violated not only our conscience, but God's will and God's word as well. That's a given. That's a given. And the people of Nineveh were aware of their guilt also. And then number two here under Roman numeral number two, all people are aware of judgment to come. All people are aware of judgment to come. Now, hey, listen. Suppose you're in the doctor's office, and the doctor says, you know, you've got 40 days to live, so you better get your house in order. Would you start rethinking some of the things that you are doing? Would you start rethinking some of the plans that you have made? Would you start rethinking your relationship with God and asking yourself some real heart-searching questions? Am I right with God? And if I were to exit this world in 40 days, would I be ready to stand before my Creator and my Judge? Here's a man that knew what he was talking about. He knew God. He had met God. And God had changed him and made such a difference in his life. And then it came with unmistakable proofs, this conversion right here. It says, as we look at this, so the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast. They proclaimed a fast. Now, you know people who have said, yes, I have believed on the Lord, and so do I, but yet they never darken the house of God. They never crack a Bible. They don't talk about God. He's not on their priority list as far as every day or every week. These people, however, had unmistakable proofs that they had been converted. Number one, they recognized there was a mission, and they declared, this is an emergency. This is a code blue. And they immediately proclaimed a fast. And it wasn't the king that did that. Notice with me. It was the people that did that. The king found out what was going on and he said, yeah, we need to do that. But it just kind of, it just spread like fire through the city. Conviction fell. The Spirit of the Lord worked in such a mighty, powerful way. And the Bible tells us here that with their lips they testified of their belief, and with their lives they testified of their newfound faith. A fast? We're going to put off going to Texas Roadhouse. We've got business to do with God. We're not going to go to that Cancun restaurant. We've got business to do with God. This is far, far, far more. And they put on sackcloth. You know, it's a garment made from goat's hair, very uncomfortable, black, always depicted mourning. You've seen those old newsreels, maybe of FDR's funeral when he died in 1940. I think it was 44, 45, and they had the big funeral in Washington D.C. and the horses were draped in black. It's like everybody's going to mourn, even the animals, because the animals would be affected by that judgment, which was foretold as well. So there was this unmistakable proof that God was working in their life. And this is what they said. There's no easy believism here. Look with me, if you would, to verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger? And the Bible tells us here that he said, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? So there's no presumption on the part of these people. They knew they were guilty, and they knew this man had a message, and it carried weight. Why? Because he was being used by the Spirit of God to deliver a life-transforming message. And my friend, that is the same message that Jesus Christ came to preach. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was at hand in the person of the king when he came here in flesh the first time. Repent. Change your life. Have a change of mind about what you are doing, and begin to live for me. Confess your sins to me, and I will forgive you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he says. Yes. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. How wonderful that is. Romans chapter 10 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And incidentally, this is a Gentile city that was what was reached with, if you would, the Old Testament gospel. And it gives us a peek at the great burden that God has for the entire world, that they come to know, it doesn't matter who we are, that they come to know the true and the living God. Their lives gave testimony of unmistakable proof that they had believed on the Lord. And then last of all, right here, their conversion, the conversion of Nineveh, was by a merciful God. And the Bible tells us right here, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil. The word repent here, you know, how do you reconcile that? Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. How can you change? Why would a perfect, if you're perfect, you don't need to change, do you? God is perfect and he doesn't need to change. So how do we interpret that word? In the Hebrew, it's lakam, and it means to sigh. It means to breathe strongly. It means to, in a favorable sense, to show pity. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 103, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Whoa. Awesome verse. Psalm 103, verse 17 says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And so our text tells us right here, God saw their works, that they turned from the evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. He repented, nakam. He breathed heavily in a sense of sighing. Now, God didn't change. Remember when you were a kid, maybe you had a 26-inch bike or a 24-inch bike, and you decided to go bike riding that day, and you had a headwind, and you had to pedal extra hard. But then you turned your bike around, and you had a tailwind. And all of a sudden, it was much easier to pedal, wasn't it? Yes. Now, did the wind change? Did the wind change? No, it didn't, did it? Who changed? You did, when you were riding your bike. God didn't change. He changes not, the Bible declares. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. What happened is we decided instead of bucking God, we're going to go with him in the direction that he wants us to go. And so, but that is an act. That is an act of a merciful God to receive a people such as these. They were known. They were known for their cruelty, their unkindness. So we have here the conversion of Nineveh, something thought impossible. And my friend, many people, including your pastor, think that it's almost impossible today for America to have a revival. It ought not to be that way. Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never changes. And the same God that worked in the city of Nineveh can work in Washington, D.C., can work in Chicago, can work in Los Angeles, and yes, even in Las Vegas and San Francisco. And God saw their works, the Bible says, and he did not do as he said. Was Nineveh over? No, it wasn't. It wasn't. So we have a conversion here, a miraculous movement of God in the Old Testament in an Assyrian city, an ancient Assyrian city, one against all chances of success. Number two, through a credible message. Number three, with unmistakable proofs. Their lips and their lives testified of their newfound faith, and by a merciful God. Now, in conclusion, Dr. J. Edwin Orr said this, and he's one of the foremost authorities on revivals.